Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 4, the stanzas 1 through 4. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows? Psalter 4, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 26, the verses 30 through 46. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 26, the verses 30 through 46. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, asleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Harmon Lusink, who needs an heart ablation this coming Thursday, and the people of the country of the Ukraine. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, most gracious, most long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, therefore we may still gather together on this Lord's Day within the walls of thy house. Therefore we may still have a place upon this earth. Therefore we may still be upon praying, seeking, and finding ground. May it please thee to grant an impression thereof in all of our hearts in this hour, and that shall only be when thou worketh by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we may thank thee for all the good and precious things which thou so richly and undeservedly has showered upon us in the week gone by. Then thou wast watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. And then thou yet maketh a great difference with many others. Then we must say, with most of the people upon the face of the earth, where there are many that miss the bare necessities of life in our Lord, then we commend unto thee the people in the country that is being torn asunder because of war, where there is death, where there is suffering, where there is need, many wants, many cares, many fears, a loss of life and loss of property, where great multitudes have fled from their homes, not knowing whether they shall ever return, and not knowing where they shall spend the remainder of their days and the remainder of their years upon this earth. O Lord, may it please thee to uphold that people. May they be given to cry mightily unto thee, and that thou may be a prayer giving, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God, where we have sung together out of thy holy word, that thou art the ruler supreme, and oh, that warfare against thee, against thy dear son, against thy church, that shall continue as long as the earth exists, and that warfare shall only become greater as we come toward the end of this world. Lord, wilt thou grant unto us and our children that we may learn to know of another warfare, and that is that spiritual warfare against that triple-headed enemy. To that end, then it is necessary by an act of free and sovereign grace that we are taken from underneath the banner of the devil, and that we are placed under the glorious banner of King Jesus, to become a soldier under that banner, and to be given to fight that spiritual warfare. Lord, to that end we humbly beg of thee in this morning hour and on this Sabbath day, for a rich blessing upon the proclamation of thy holy word. All what is declared in thy word, that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou wilt save some. Lord, may it be many. Oh, we all stand in need of the same thing. How terrible it shall be to have to go lost under such a precious gospel. And, oh, Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen, and therefore the necessity of thy work. Wilt thou do it then in this morning hour? That sinners, that they may receive home the letter of their guilt, that they may begin to cry mightily unto thee, to become a missing and a seeking people, a people that may be given to mourn, a people that becomes poor in spirit, and a people that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Then thou wast promised that they shall be filled. May that also take place in this day, Lord, in these passion weeks. Then it is so needful for each and every one of us, and that by the first time and by renewal, to learn the need of that passion, the great need, but also to be led into that passion, where a salvation has been merited so full and so free, by the meritorial work of thy dear Son, in the state of his humiliation, but also to receive the application in the state of his exaltation. May it then please thee to lead thy children further in those mysteries of salvation. Oh, that their faith may be strengthened to be given to see him who was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s, oh, who was loved this people, even unto death, but is risen, and sitteth at the right hand of thy Father. Wilt thou so remember, and thou shalt remember, thy church over all the earth, because it is thy church, but wilt thou remember her in thy special favor, the established churches, and all over the world, where thy word may be brought, wilt thou remember thy truly called servants, wilt thou help and remember the students in this day, remember elders and deacons on the mission field. And then we commend unto thee one of thy servants, who in the past week has been installed in his new congregation, and now on this Lord's Day, as their shepherd, a teacher, may bring thy holy word. Wilt thou help him and grant him special tokens of thy favor on this Sabbath day. Lord, we remember the many outward needs, the needs that are known and also the unknown needs, but they are all known unto thee. May we be found more a praying people, given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, O Lord. Do remember and uphold all the mourning ones. Remember all of our elderly ones, the infirmities increasing, and the care home with those who may lovingly care for them, and those that may still go in and out. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, and then we commend unto thee a father in his weakness, who was scheduled to go to the hospital in this week. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may guide the hand of the physician, and that the means may yet be blessed, to grant him a little strength in the climbing of his years. Remember him together with his dear wife. Lord, above all, do save their never-dying souls. Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Remember our brother deacon who continues to struggle with his back. We commend him unto thee with his dear wife. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, may it please thee to open thy holy word, and wilt thou open our mouth, anoint us with fresh oil from above, but wilt thou also open our hearts, O wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then manifest thy wonderful and thy almighty hand in the midst of us and our children, among young and old, that in these dark, in these solemn and serious times, that it may please thee that thou may do a great work amongst us, to gladden and bless us with a greater outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, than by renewal. Then we are called to confess that our sins, they are manifold. The past week in this day, well, to grant an impression thereof unworthy of the least of thy blessings, but, O Lord, they are blessings that we and our children cannot miss for the time and for eternity. To that end, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 2, 4, and 5. Thou hast brought me down to darkness, and neath thy wrath I am oppressed. All the billows of affliction overwhelm my soul distressed. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 240, the stanzas 2, 4, and 5. Thank you. And this morning, our, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Matthew 26, the verses 36 through 45. And we shall read the verses 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ's profound prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Four thoughts in the first place. A prayer at a special place. Secondly, a prayer with an unfathomable agony. Thirdly, a prayer with a holy submission. And fourthly, a prayer followed by a rich declaration. Jesus Christ's profound prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. A prayer at a special place. A prayer with an unfathomable agony. A prayer with a holy submission, and a prayer followed by a rich declaration. Thus first, a prayer at a special place. Beloved congregation, on the Friday preceding Good Friday, then the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples has come to Bethany and remained at the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. On the Sabbath day, they have rested. And on that Sabbath day, the Sanhedrin, they have counseled together that not only Jesus, but also Lazarus must be put to death, because that Lazarus was such a token of the wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ has performed. Then on the first day of the week, called Palm Sunday, the Lord has sent disciples to Bethage, for an ass and his colt. They have placed him thereon, and they have traveled toward Jerusalem. And as they have come to the side of the Mount of Olives with Jerusalem in view, then also a great company has come from Jerusalem they have met. And so triumphantly they have entered into Jerusalem with a multitude and children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. Then in the evening he has returned on Monday by renewal with his disciples, have went to Jerusalem, cursed the fig tree, and has cleansed the temple on Tuesday by renewal. And then we read of that Tuesday that he has taught in the temple, Matthew 22, the parable of the two sons and of the husbandman with the vineyard. Then in Matthew 23, the woes which he has pronounced upon the Pharisees. In Matthew 24, when they were returning to Bethany, and when the disciples were given to look upon the beautiful city of Jerusalem, then they have inquired of the future, and then Christ has spoken of the signs that would come in the latter days before he would appear upon the clouds of heaven. Then in Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. But then he has also spoken in the latter part of the chapter of the solemn day of judgment and the two different pronouncements that Christ would pronounce upon the inhabitants of the earth in Matthew 26, in the house of Simon the leper, where Mary was given to anoint. What has taken place on that Wednesday is not declared. And then we read on Thursday that he has given orders to Peter and John that they may prepare the Passover. And then the disciples have come. They have celebrated the Passover. The Lord's Supper was instituted. And then those precious chapters for the comfort of his church, John 14, 15, and 16, concerning his meditorial work and the necessity of the sending of the Comforter. And then John 17, that high priestly prayer. And then we have read it together, that after they have sung a hymn, that they have went out. And then we have also heard of the what Peter and the disciples have thought and declared they would be disappointed. Then in our text words in this morning, then we are given to see that precious Savior, that it shall be fulfilled what he has spoken in John 13 verse 1, that he loved them to the end. He has loved them in that never begun eternity. He has loved his people when he has assumed our human nature. He has loved them in his suffering and death, and he loves them still. And then we read that they have went out. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. That was on the east side of Jerusalem. On the east, and there was a valley. Before you climbed on the Mount of Olives, then there was the Brook Kidron. And then on the other side, there was the Garden of Gethsemane, where there are many olive trees. Josephus, the Jewish historian, relates that when Titus has destroyed Jerusalem, that most of those trees were cut down, a few were left, and then it is clear that it was not an unknown place for Jesus and for the disciples, because we read in John 18, verse 2, for Jesus oftentimes restored it thither with his disciples. And it is clear that Judas also knew the place. Thus then we see the Savior, that he has left the city of Jerusalem in the shadow of the cross, the cursed cross before him. But then he was that willing. Oh, it was the season of the Passover, when many lambs would be slain, when much blood would flow. But for those Passover lambs, then they have went ignorantly to their death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as the willing Passover lamb, he knew perfectly what awaited him. Then he opened not his mouth in the way that not agreeing to go that way, but he was that willing lamb of God. Then concerning that place, concerning the brook Kidron, do we not also read of a David when he was persecuted by Absalom in 1 Samuel 15, that he has crossed that brook a weeping barefoot? Then do we also not read of a Shimei who was cursed David, and Solomon in 1 Kings 2 was given strict orders that he must remain in Jerusalem. If he would leave Jerusalem, he would be put to death. But after 3 years, there were 2 slaves that have left, that have ran away, and that his Shimei was given to cross the brook. He has retrieved his slaves, and he has appeared before Solomon, and he was put to death. So we see in our chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has crossed the brook, that he has come into the Garden of Gethsemane, that runaway slaves that have left him in paradise and renewed that choice by their actual sins, that they may be retrieved, that they may be brought back into that blessed communion of his Holy Father. But to that end, it was the way of the cross. And now the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples in the dark of the night, the general thought is, perhaps about 10 o'clock in the evening, that as that willing Savior for the glory of his Father, because he was that willing servant, has he not said to his disciples in John 4 verse 34 that it was his meat to do the will of his Father and to finish his work? And that was that chosen church, that they may be redeemed, that they may be delivered, that they may be saved, that they may be restored into that blessed communion. Oh, young and old, that passion gospel, that is such a blessed gospel, and there it may be declared for all of us, for us and our children, that there is a way to escape that well-deserved punishment and to be restored into favor. Then there is not one among young and old in this morning that can say it is not possible for me. But young and old, it must be experienced in our heart. Then by the grace of God, by the irresistible and loving work of the Holy Spirit, then we also need to experience a Gethsemane, as we shall hear later. And now Christ, in the way of need, before great suffering, then with his disciples, then he has sought a place of seclusion, separated from the multitude, because in the time of Passover, then in Jerusalem and on the outskirts, it was a very busy place. But then he has sought a place of seclusion. That is also instruction for us and our children. When there is need, when there is suffering, when we are overwhelmed, that we find a secret place, that we may be given to bow, that we may be given to cry unto the Lord, that he may remember us. Our second thought, a prayer with an unfathomable agony. And then when we consider our text words, then it is, as I read in Exodus 3 verse 5, Put off thy feet from thy shoes, for thou standest upon holy ground. Who can fathom the eternal Son of God, the beloved Son of the Father? And then when we may be given in this morning to consider his deep, his unfathomable suffering and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, young and old, that surely what a preaching it is to us. On the one hand, the justice of God, that he cannot overstep sin, that his justice requires perfect satisfaction. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Young and old, has that become reality in our life? Have we become burdened with our sins? Have they become real? Have we learned to cry for and after the Lord? We are traveling to eternity, and we cannot appear before the Lord as we are born. What shall we do with our sins, young and old? That requires an answer in this morning. What shall we do with our sins at the end of our life? They need to be pardoned. They need to be forgiven. That precious mediator, he must become our Savior by the grace of God. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, then we read, that his hour has come. Oh, he has said unto his disciples, sit ye here. It is written in Isaiah 63 verse 6, I have trodden the winepress alone. Oh, it is indeed a blessing when we suffer, when we are overwhelmed, when there may be compassion, when there may be care, when there may be empathy. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, they could only go so far. And then he has went alone. It is true, we have heard it. Three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they have went a little further. We read different places in the scripture where they were led a little further than the other disciples with the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Also the Mount of Transfiguration. But all those three disciples, they have also remained behind. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has suffered alone. He has come in seclusion. It is written, his hour has come. It was all in the shadow of the cross. And then we read that he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And in verse 37, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. What solemn words, congregation. The Son of God that has assumed our human nature, that he began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. What profound words. Why did the Son of God now become very heavy? That declares the unfathomable and eternal love of Christ for his people. All of himself, he had no original sin, as we read in Luke 1 verse 35, no actual sin. John 8 verse 46, who convinceth me of sin? Boys and girls, tell me now in this morning, when we see the Son of God, who was prophesied in Psalm 22 verse 6, I am a worm and no man, when he has crawled upon this cursed earth as a worm. Tell me then, boys and girls, why did the Lord Jesus Christ, why did the Son of God, why did he become so sorrowful? And why did he become very heavy? No, it is not only written that he became heavy, but that he became very heavy. When the church of God, a child of God, by the uncovering and by the further and deeper uncovering of sin, when they may be given to consider all their sins from their youth to this very day, and then to consider the great multitude of the church, because they read in John 7 verse 9 that it is a multitude that no man could number. Oh, John has seen them clothed with those long white garments and with palm branches in their hand of victory, because they have been redeemed by that precious Savior. When we consider the sins of the church, when we consider the transgressions of the whole church, and they were laid all upon the Son of God, to that end we read that he has become very heavy. Oh, when we consider the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane, then we read in our 12 articles, descended into hell. No, Christ has not literally went into hell, but he has experienced the agonies of hell. Oh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, then the wrath of the Father lay heavy upon him. Then the malice of the devil, the curses of the law have become upon him. He has experienced what the law shall have to experience to all eternity in hell. Oh, in our chapter, what a precious Savior, what a willing Savior, that the sons and daughters of Adam may be saved. Oh, young and old, may I ask you, have you now been uncovered and discovered to your sins? How do you live upon this world with your heavenly high debt in the Garden of Gethsemane? Then we are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and that sin brings wrath, and that brings separation. But now the Savior, that he was willing to suffer and to die. Oh, it was in the shadow of Calvary's cross. Then we read in Hebrews 10 verse 31, it is a fierce, fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, then we do not only read, it is implied, that he has taken the sins of his people upon him, but we read in that verse that he was made sin. That is a more profound matter. In Galatians 3 verse 13, we do not only read that he has bore the curse, but that he was made a curse. Oh, then in the Garden of Gethsemane, then it is prophesied in Psalm 22 verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. But in Christ it is declared, I am a worm and no man, and boys and girls, what is a worm? It is an helpless creature. It is a despised creature. It is a little animal that has no defense, many times stepped and trampled upon. And so Christ is declared in the scripture, there are none to rescue. Oh, then a Christ also in the Garden of Gethsemane, then he could truly say with the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1 verse 12, is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see if there be a sorrow like unto my sorrow. Ah, for a suffering people with pain, with anguish, then we can think at times, is there another one? Behold and see if there be a sorrow like my sorrow. But upon this world, then surely there is always one that has more and deeper sorrows. But now for a Christ, he could truly say, is there a sorrow like unto my sorrow? No, then there is none. Then we read of that blessed Savior, that is sweat, that it has become as drops, has become as great drops, great drops of blood because of the agony and anguish bearing the wrath of God against the sins of His church. Young and old, what a profound text. Oh, what a profound happening in the Garden of Gethsemane. And let me ask you, what does it mean to you? Has there now come a need by the grace of God? Have you now become burdened? Have you it is true, in a little way, experienced Gethsemane, that you have experienced what it is to be under the wrath and the curse of God, without God, without hope, and without Christ. Ah, that you have learned to cry, that you have learned to beg, and to ask whether there is another way. And young and old, the church of God, they shall experience a Gethsemane, as we hope to hear in our third thought, that there is no other way for redemption than by the cross of Christ. Our third thought, a prayer with a holy a submission. Then we must distinguish between the human and the divine nature. We must distinguish two wills. Those are deep matters and deep mysteries that we cannot fathom and that we cannot understand. And then we read, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, what profound words, my Father, here is thy only begotten, thy loving and thy willing Son, on his face in the garden, under thy wrath, because the sins of thy chosen church have been laid upon me. And, O Father, that wrath, that burden, and that curse is so great, so fierce, and so unfathomable, that it seems that I shall succumb. Oh, if the human nature, we have learned it in catechism, if the human nature had not been upheld by that divine nature, then also in the Garden of Gethsemane, then the beloved Son of the Father, then he would have succumbed under the wrath of his Father against the sins of his church. Oh, my Father, there would come a time on the cross that it was no longer, Oh, my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What must we understand by those profound words? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he became so sorrowful and so very heavy, must we then understand these words that Christ was not willing to come and save his church and glorify his Father? No, that is not the meaning. But the meaning is that is so deep and so profound that Christ was given to declare that that cup full of wrath to the brim, the anger and wrath of God, that it was so great, so heavy, so impossible to drink, that Christ, we must understand it so, that Christ is given to ask his Father whether it was perhaps possible that there was an other way that the church may be saved and that all his attributes would be glorified. That is the deepest meaning of this petition when Christ, with that cup of wrath, ready to drink it to the last drop, because Christ is a perfect mediator, he would finish the work, no. Then Christ with his prayer, then he is not seeking for a way of escape, but that cup so terrible, full of the wrath of his Father, whether it was possible that there would be an other way that his church would be saved, but then immediately, nevertheless, that is the nevertheless of the covenant of grace. That is the nevertheless of that eternal love of a triune God. That is a nevertheless of the willingness of the servant of the Father. And nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with we 1 hour? Do you know what the child of God learns, congregation? That it is all of grace. That if the child of God had to add one work, one sigh, anything to their salvation, it would be eternally lost. Peter, how ashamed. And then the exhortation, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. How often in the life of the children of men, in the life of the church, when the Lord sends trials and afflictions, that in the beginning, when the Lord grants it and he spares from rebellion, there may be a certain submission. But when it continues, sooner or later becomes different. Think of Job. Job 1 verse 21. The Lord is given, the Lord is taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 2 verse 10, it is written that in all this Job sinned not with his lips. Seemed like his heart become indifferent. And then in chapter 3, that he cursed the day of his birth. But now Christ Jesus, what a wonder, what a salvation is declared. When for the second time he has left the disciples sorrowful and very heavy. The prayer similar, but what a submission and what a bowing. Because after that first prayer, we do not read that the Father has spoken, then the Father was implying, my Son, no way and no salvation without the cross, the death on the cross of Calvary. That is the instruction of Gethsemane. And now the second prayer, not exactly the same as the first, but in that second prayer, a holy submission, a holy delight in the will of his Father. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me. Do you hear the difference? A holy submission, the willing servant of the Father to take that terrible cup filled with the wrath of God against the sins of his church. No other way that is declared. The silence of the Father, the Son given to agree. No other way, if this cup may not pass away from me. Except I drink it, thy will be done. Let us first sing. Psalter 184, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters over me roll. And what follows? Psalter 184, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Thank you. a prayer with a holy submission. In this prayer, we read the particular words of this cup. It is so necessary and indispensable that by the work of the Holy Spirit that we may become exercised with that cup, that we are given to own that cup, a cup full of the wrath of God, and that we continue to add to that cup, and that it is quickly filling up. And when that cup is full, and we by the grace of God, by true saving faith, to say it reverently, to entrust that cup unto that precious Savior, that he may empty it for us. Then the angel of death shall come, and then we shall be called upon to drink that cup without ever emptying that cup to all eternity. The second time he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, was not a willing sin. There is a difference when we willingly and knowingly sin, or whether sins of infirmity, they are all sins. Christ has said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. And then what wonderful words we read, that the third time it is specifically mentioned that he prayed, saying the same words, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Or forethought, a prayer followed by a rich declaration. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest." We read in the Gospel of Luke that the Father has sent an angel, a holy angel, to strengthen him, and that surely to assure the Son of his purpose, the purpose why he has given himself in the Council of Peace and has assumed our human nature, to assure him of the promise of his Father, that he would remember and uphold, grant what is necessary. And in the third place, surely, to assure him of his reward. What was that reward, boys and girls? What would Christ receive as a reward upon his finished meritorial work? Peter and sleeping disciples who would soon be offended and who would deny their master. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Then that angel, it is not all declared, but surely it is all included. Thus, Christ, no answer, and yet an angel has come to strengthen. And now when Christ was risen, then he has pronounced those profound words, sleep on now and take your rest. I read in Hebrews 4 verse 9, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. What a contrast. The beloved Son of the Father, no rest, sorrowful, full of agony, very heavy, given that cup of wrath by his Father. And that Christ, when he was risen, anticipation of his finished work, spoken the same matters in John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee upon the earth, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. That was in anticipation that he would cry out, it is finished. And so he has merited a rest for restless souls. What a preaching. The Garden of Gethsemane. What a preaching. The suffering, agonizing Savior. With that profound prayer, three times, with a cup of wrath, nevertheless not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. And now it is necessary. The one child is led clear and deeper than another, but they shall all learn the same matters. And then the child of God shall learn something of Gethsemane before the courthouses and before the cross of Calvary. Oh, when the Lord works, what a crying and what a begging there is concerning their sin, concerning that cup. Then we learn that that cup becomes so heavy and so unbearable, nothing heavier upon this earth. And then how such a one is given to beg for favor, for pardon. How hard they try that that cup may be emptied. Oh, by their tears, they may believe with Psalm 56 verse 8 that some of those tears are in the bottle of the Lord. By their works, by their repentance, by their prayers, that that cup may be emptied. But now there has come a time that Christ was given to bow. Of course, he has always bowed, but in that prayer, given to express it in a special way, to bow under the justice of God. It is true, an angel is strengthened. a child of God in that way shall be given to experience special tokens of the Lord's favor. But the church must and shall learn in Gethsemane no other way to be saved than by the cross of Calvary. Then the way to the cross for Jesus that led to different courthouses. Each time Jesus pronounced innocent and yet condemned. And now it is so necessary that those seeking souls that from Gethsemane led to the courthouse, guilty, guilty, worthy to be condemned to everlasting punishment. And in that way, to be led with the burden of sin to the cross of Calvary, people of God, how far may we come? What a profound and precious preaching in our text words. And now in this day, then the King of the Church, he still invites, he proffers peace and pardon. He calls unto the congregation to repent and to believe. May be declared that there is a way to escape that well-deserved punishment and to be restored into favor. If that does not happen, when does that need to happen, congregation? You ever thought about it? When does that need to happen? Today. Because tomorrow can be too late. To that end, may many prayers be sent up to heaven. Mercy. That is the only hope for us and our children. And the Lord is still gathering the church. We have heard it on Thursday night from Article 37 of the Confession of Faith, that when the last elect is brought in, then Christ shall immediately come upon the clouds of heaven, people of God. How is it with that cup? Needs to be emptied. How far can we come? Oh, may it be granted that there may be souls, that they may be given, reverently speaking, to hand their cup over, discover that they can never empty it, but by true saving faith, to give it to that precious Savior who has emptied it to the last drop. The prophet has said in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to explain and to declare the depth of those three prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane by thy dear Son, so God glorifying, and so soul saving. Wilt thou grant exercises with a cup of wrath, with our never dying soul, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, all thy attributes, thy justice, and thy mercy, Lord, remember us and our dear children, thy mercy, that is our only hope and our only expectation. Do convert the unconverted. May that take place in this day. And wilt thou lead thy people deeper and further, and to be given to experience something it is only in part here below, but of the rest that remaineth for the people of God to be given to rejoice therein, to delight therein, to meditate upon, and to sing thy praises. Wilt thou remember us this Lord's Day? Help fathers and mothers with the children to speak, to sing, to pray. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Remember the country that is torn asunder because of war. Remember the churches there. Undoubtedly also churches damaged, destroyed, that on this Sabbath day, gathering together in different places, grant a prayer to thee, the living God. What maketh us to differ? Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 426, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled over my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer, and what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be prayer day services on Wednesday, March 9, at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. All collections will be for the school unless otherwise indicated. Psalter 426, 2, 3, and 4. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows, Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Kings 12, beginning with the 25th verse through the 10th verse of chapter 13. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Kings 12, beginning with verse 25 and the first 10 verses of chapter 13. Then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, as so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And behold, There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, a Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went an other way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy great mercy that for the second time on this Sabbath day that we and our dear children may have the privilege that we may come up to thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Then thou wast crowned this day with thy goodness and with thy mercy. And when by renewal we approach unto thee, then it is so indispensable to receive an impression unto whom we speak where thou art so high and lifted up, a deep impression of our sin, of our unworthiness, a deep impression of all of our needs and the temporal needs for us and our children. They are great, but the greatest need is the need of our never-dying soul that needs to be saved by thy free and sovereign grace. And to that end, Lord, then we humbly try to beg of thee by renewal in this day, that thou may remember us and our children traveling to that never-ending eternity with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that in this very hour, that boys and girls, young people, middle-aged, and the elderly ones may be converted by thee unto thee. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And in the solemnity of the times, in the latter days of the earth, may it please thee to grant a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Wilt thou spare that we and our children, that we do not build upon sandy foundations? And wilt thou remember thy children? Thou knowest their condition. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of their most holy faith? Wilt thou lead them further in the mysteries of salvation, that they may not rest till they may be given to rest in the finished work of thine only begotten Son, and the application thereof, embracing by the hand of true saving faith? Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace in the church? Wilt thou help and remember the consistory? May there be many errands in hers. May the labors be blessed on the Lord's day. But also during the week we commend unto thee the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, and all the official labors. It all awaits for thy blessing. Bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers to that end? We commend unto thee the manifold labors in our Christian school. All who may labor therein, grant traveling mercies, help the school board, administration, the teachers. Wilt thou remember the students, the opening of thy holy word? Make it a blessing for young and old. Then by renewal, then we commend thy church unto thee. Over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Wilt thou uphold the persecuted church? Wilt thou remember the Jewish people, that that veil may be taken off, not only in the way of understanding, but above all by thy Spirit in the way of experience? Wilt thou remember all mission work, all mission fields, also our mission field? We commend unto thee thy servants and the team with the family circles, aware that separation far away is often experienced, but may they be given to experience thy special presence and thy special help. Wilt thou remember Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth, Lord? Then in this day, then there have been many that could not gather freely, as we and our children do. And then by renewal we remember that country that has been plunged into war. Do remember that people in this day. Then many could not go up to thy house, different circumstances. May the prayers be multiplied. May they be given to cry unto thee, and that they may experience that thou knowest of them, and that the enemy is also in thy hand, and that the enemy cannot move without thy will. May that people also be given to confess their sins and their unworthiness, no rights, but that they may be given to beg for thy mercy, O Lord. Wilt thou remember among that people all the mourning ones, all the wounded ones, all those that have lost dear ones, that have lost possessions, that are fleeing to different places, and may it be used, these solemn callings, that many souls, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that they may be converted by thee unto thee and our Lord. Then we do well to ask ourselves, and what maketh us to differ, where we are a country that has departed so far from thy word. The unborn continue to be murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, the seventh commandment despised. Remember all in high authority, the federal government. Oh, the prime minister, that his eyes may be opened before it is forever and forever too late. Wilt thou remember our province, we may acknowledge thee, that many restrictions have been lifted, but, O Lord, then we do well, us and our children, to examine our hearts. A word has brought us, whether it has brought us closer to thee and to thy holy word. Wilt thou remember and uphold the premier with all those that stand at his side? Wilt thou remember all the governments of the cities of the town, also of our little town, Lord? Wilt thou remember the churches, remember our community? May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit where there is air, that the truth may shine forth. Wilt thou remember the many needs amongst us, then by renewal, then we remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children, and other dear ones to the cemetery. Ah, do remember them. And remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Oh, above all, grant that one thing needful. Remember all under the physician's care that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Thou knowest the many cares, the many fears, the many concerns. Then by renewal we remember that father in his weak condition, where it is scheduled for him to go to the hospital. Then we may humbly ask thee that the means may be blessed, that he may regain a little of his strength, but, Lord, impress upon his heart even, if it may be an extension. An extension is only for a time, and to that end remember him and his wife, for their never dying souls. We commend unto thee all the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens. Remember the family circles, remember husbands and wives, remember parents and children. Now, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may remember us in this evening. May our eyes truly be upon thee. Open thy word and open our hearts. And, Lord, do grant a blessing to young and old. Take away everything that is a hindrance. Then we also remember those of prodigal sons and daughters who we see no more, who are seeking it elsewhere. May it please thee to be mindful, to convert them, Lord. Then it is necessary for us all, on account of our deep fallen Adam, that we have become such a prodigal son and such a prodigal daughter, dwelling in a far country, as seeking it where it can never be found. On the other hand, then it is thy goodness, when thou keepest us under the truth, under the means of grace, where those are the means appointed, where thou gathereth thy church by word and by spirit, wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 423, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6. Jehovah reigns as king, to him all homage bring. Ye islands, earth, and ocean, break forth in glad devotion. And what follows? Psalter 423, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 35, the question and answers 96 through 98. Question 96, what doth God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Question 97, are images then not at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means, but as to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 98, but may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady? Answer, no, for we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. Lord's Day 35 speaks of the second commandment, how God must be worshipped. Three thoughts. First, what God forbids in the second commandment. Secondly, what God requires in the second commandment. And thirdly, what God promises in the second commandment. The second commandment, how God must be worshipped. What God forbids, what God requires, and what God promises. Thus first, what God forbids in the second commandment. Beloved congregation, we have already once stood at the bottom, at the foot of Mount Sinai, and then we have heard precious things in that introduction. Then we have also heard the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And how has it now been, boys and girls, young people, and older ones in our midst? Have we thought about it? Have we heard Nathan speak, thou art the man, necessary in the way of uncovering, but in the life of David than it was in the way of sanctification? What have we done with the first commandment? Of course, there is a difference. Every sin is a sin before a just and a good-doing God. Nevertheless, a difference when we sin ignorantly or when we sin willingly. Also a difference whether it is a sin of infirmity. To make that clear, And this morning we have never mentioned it, but Christ has went with 11 disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, boys and girls. Then you know it, that Christ has chosen 12 disciples. Where was number 12? Then we read that Judas, that he has left Christ and the other disciples, and it was night. Then Judas willingly, then he has went that wayward pathway to betray his master for 30 pieces of silver. Does not mean that the sin of the disciples, that they were not watching with their master, and soon they would be offended, and of Peter 3 times, that he would deny his master, even to confirm it by an oath, that it was not a great sin. Nevertheless, a difference, yet each sin needs to be pardoned. And now with the first commandment, then we do well to examine all our hearts. And where does it bring us? Where does it lead us? Can also be that we become discouraged and that we are given to think no use, no purpose. I am guilty of all the commandments. I am a sinner. But, oh, young and old, our sin needs to be pardoned. It may still be declared, we have heard it in this morning, that second Adam in the garden did not do as the first Adam. When the Lord has said, where art thou? That Adam has hidden himself together with Eve. But Christ has willingly went to that garden and willingly went to the cross. There in a way is declared for us and our children, the transgressors from the womb, and those that transgress against all the commandments, and that includes us all, that there is a way to be pardoned. Concerning the second commandment, the Roman Catholics and also the Lutheran Church, they have combined the first and the second. That means that on the first table they have 3 commandments, and on the second commandment they have 7, because they have divided the 10th into 2. They run stuck. Because when we read the 10th commandment in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, then the house and the wife is placed in a different order. They have combined the first and the second, of course. It does not change the wording, but in that way they hope to give the impression that the second commandment referring to images, that it refers to the worship of other gods. But it is clear, I think our boys and girls can maybe understand it, that the first commandment, that speaks who we worship, and that is the living God. But now the second commandment, that speaks of how we must worship as the Lord has commanded in his holy word. concerning the worshiping of God with images that has slowly crept into the church. First, pictures of martyrs that have given their life for the service of the Lord, paintings perhaps hung in the churches. Then soon thereafter, paintings of different saints of the Bible, the Virgin Mary. And then further, then there has come a time that they have worshipped them, concerning image worship. There undoubtedly were very dumb heathens that were so dumb that if even thought that their idol of stone or the tree, that it was indeed their God. But for many of them, they would tell us perhaps that that God dwelt in that image, or when they were a little wiser, that what the Roman Catholic Church will tell us, that they are helps that we worship the Lord through that image. So it was in Exodus 32, when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt by the Lord's almighty power. And when Moses has stayed upon the top of that mountain so long, then they have said unto Aaron that he would make them gods. And then they have made a golden calf. And then they have declared the same as a Jeroboam has declared, these are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee out of Egypt. Then for that people of Israel, then it was clear that it was not that calf, because that calf has been made after they were delivered out of Egypt. But that people of Israel, they had a desire, as it was with the heathens, that they could see their God with their eyes. And so the golden calf was made, and they thought they could worship the Lord through that golden calf, and they have made an altar before the Lord. In the early centuries, then sometime the Christians were called atheists, because they had no visible image of their God. It has even happened on a mission field, when a missionary has come and preached the word of God, and that the missionary says, we must need to build the Lord a house where we may come to worship. When that church was finished, then that people have come up to that house of God, and then they have looked very closely in that church where there was their God. And when they have not seen a visible representation of God, then they were greatly puzzled concerning making an image of God. Then it is clearly declared that the instructor said, we cannot and we may not, because I read in John 4, verse 24, where Christ has spoken to that Samaritan woman, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A God is invisible, incomprehensible. He is a spirit. And in Isaiah 40, verse 18, we read, to whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And Elihu, in Job 36, verse 26, has declared God is great, and we know him not. When man tries to make an image of God, then he denies the omnipresence of the Lord, that he is a spirit, and that he is everywhere present. To that end, we may not make pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first place, there is no one that knows how the Lord Jesus Christ looked like when he has assumed our human nature. And when we try to make a picture of Christ, then only that human nature is represented. Thus then, in a certain sense, then we separate the human and the divine nature. That also applies for the Holy Spirit, where sometimes people picture the Holy Spirit as a dove. It is true, with the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has descended like a dove, but also the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a spirit, that he is invisible. Are images then not at all to be made? And then the instructors are very clear that paintings and images may be made. In the Old Testament, then we have many examples. Think of the cherubims upon the ark, the cherubims that were painted, embroidered upon the veil. Then Solomon, he had lions on each side of his throne. Upon the brazen altar of Solomon, it was upon 12 oxen. Then we have many examples in the scripture where images were made. Think of the New Testament, when they have brought a penny to Jesus with the image of Caesar. Then we do not read that Jesus has condemned the making of that image. But then the instructors, they are very clear that although creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. When we consider this commandment thus far, then perhaps because we must listen along and we must examine our hearts, with that first commandment, then we have all felt it, that we are all very guilty. What an idols, what a loves there can be does not mean we may not love anything. The Lord grants many precious things which we may have, we may enjoy, husband, wife, children, a house and occupation, but it may never take the place of God, and it may not draw us away from the Lord. Thus, concerning all those precious things, then the question is whether it brings us closer to the Lord with all our blessings and closer to his word, or whether it draws us away. But now, concerning the explanation of the second commandment, then thus far, when we have heard the explanation, and it is possible that there are even boys and girls amongst us that think, but I now have a question, because when I read my Bible, and boys and girls, I hope you all do that before you go to bed, when you can read and ask the Lord for a blessing, then maybe with the explanation thus far, that you have a question, that you shall say. But I read different places in the Bible that I read that God is ears, eyes, arms, and hands. How are we now to understand it? We are not to make images. And yet in the Bible, then I read of those things that is boys and girls. The Lord is so incomprehensible that we with our little minds that we cannot comprehend who the Lord is. And to that end, the Lord uses human language that we can relate to. And to that end, the Lord speaks that he has eyes and ears, because our boys and girls can understand. When we read that the Lord has eyes, that does not mean he literally has eyes, because the Lord has no body. But that means that the Lord sees everything, even when no one sees it else. That the Lord sees everything that I do, and that the Lord hears everything that I speak, and that with his arms and with his hands, that the Lord is such an almighty God that for him there is nothing too wonderful. But now concerning the making of images, then there is not one amongst us that has an image, a little literal image in his house, and that we bow our knees to worship God through that image. But now this commandment, because I read in Psalm 119 that the Lord's commandment are exceeding broad. And then the Lord requires not only that we do not worship God through images, but also that we do not worship God as an image. And then it all becomes different for us. We may not worship God as an image, and an image that is dead, cold, unfeeling, and no impression. And when we consider that statement, then all of a sudden, then it becomes so different that each and everyone has to say, "Ach, Lord, then I am so guilty." How often, 'tis a wonder when it is different. Even a blessing by the common goodness of the Lord, when we may have a deep impression of whom the Lord is, and our sinnership more so, by the saving work of the Holy Spirit. What a deadness, what a lukewarmness, how little impression, that we have to confess that many times we are as cold and unfeeling as those dead images that the heathens and other religions worship. What God requires in the second commandment, we have heard it already from Lord's Day number 34. Concerning the first commandment, then we have also heard much how we are called to worship the Lord. We have already heard much instruction, because the instructors have said, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in him alone, with humility and patience submit to him, expect all good things from him, only love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his holy will. Thus, the second commandment that condemns form and duty, that condemns unbelief, and then we do well when we bow our knees. Who do we worship? Do we worship a God that is only just? Can also be with fathers and mothers, who is sufficient unto these things to tell our children who the Lord is. What an impossible work that is. But then how necessary the whole Bible, that we tell our children that the Lord is just and holy indeed, but also that he is a God full of mercy and compassion, ready to forgive even the chiefest of sinners. When we bow our knees, do we worship a God that has no eyes? When that is so, then we shall not have such a close life. Give herself many liberties. How is it in our daily life? So necessary. What a Hagar has declared in Genesis 16. Lord, thou seest me. Or that we worship a God that has no ears. That we watch not so carefully our tongue. Not such an impression. What I read in God's word, that for each idle word, that we must give an account, that we worship a God when we are discouraged, impossibilities, that we have such a small God and not a great God, not a mighty God, that even when there are impossibilities, that the Lord is able to deliver. Thus the great sin of unbelief, when we view sin differently than God beholds sin, then we are also guilty of the second commandment. When we are trying to save ourselves by our works and by our tears, when we come to the Lord without a mediator, that must also become sin for the child of God. When the Lord uncovers further by his Spirit, and they are given to reflect, oh, it is true. When the Lord works, he works by that love, and therefore they are given to say, was Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation by day and by night. But now to learn, when we try to be saved by our works, that we count the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing. When the Lord leads in trials, when we have those hard thoughts, rebellion, not an impression of the goodness and the wisdom of the Lord, thus then congregation, when we see in this commandment what the Lord requires, then how guilty we are. What beautiful examples that the Lord has given in his word. How he must be worshipped. He must be worshipped as that Ruth, with a heart full of love, with that precious choice, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. He must be worshipped as that dove in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. He must be worshipped as that woman with that issue of blood that has went to those other physicians for 12 years. And when she has heard of Jesus, that she has come a-trembling through the crowd, if I may touch his garment, I shall be healed. The Lord must be worshipped as that Canaanitish woman that has come out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. In Matthew 15, the verses 21 through 28, with the need of her daughter. Oh, such a true and an upright prayer that she was given to plead upon the words which Jesus has spoken. Yea, Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. Oh, we must be worshipped as that woman who was a sinner in Luke 7, when she has come in the house of Simon the Pharisee and has anointed with that bottle of ointment. He must be worshipped as a Mary Magdalene when she has come to the empty tomb, when she has wept bitterly, when she has found the Savior. Further, but may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady. What does that word mean, boys and girls? It's an old-fashioned word. We don't use it anymore. That refers to the members of the congregation, boys and girls, young and old. And now the question is, may images, may they not be used to that end? Because we are so ignorant that it may be a help for us and our children to understand the spiritual things written in God's holy word. And it is true. In the Old Testament, it has pleased the Lord to instruct that people through types and through shadows. But in the New Testament, then it is clearly declared in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then the answer, no, but we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught, not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. And when we read of that lively preaching, that includes the reading services. That includes the instruction in the family circles by father and mother, as they have promised, with the baptism of their children. Thus it includes the means of grace in the church, in the family circle, and in the Christian school. When the Lord works, then there is a hearing people, a people that are given to hunger and thirst. And then that people, they are not seeking for entertainment or to feel good. That is much the focus, alas, alas, in our days. That has become much the focus of many churches. And then they do as Jeroboam. Then they reason, how must we now keep our people, and especially our youth, in church? And then they depart from God's word, and they think of other ways to make their people feel good about themselves. Entertainment, plays, performances, bands, but our instructors, all our forefathers. They have stressed in opposition with everything that has come into the church, the Roman Catholic Church, the preaching of God's holy word, and the administration of the sacraments which the Lord has given for the working and for the strengthening of faith. And the Lord has declared in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We have heard it out of God's holy word. After the 10 tribes separated from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, that Jeroboam was greatly concerned about his people, and that he thought, when they go up to Jerusalem, especially to the feast where the beautiful temple of Solomon is, then that people shall leave my kingdom, and they shall undoubtedly return to Rehoboam, and therefore I must do something to keep my people. And to that end, we have heard it, made 2 golden calves, placed one in the south of the land, Bethel, and the other in the north, in Dan. And then he has also said to the children of Israel, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. It was the sin that made Israel to sin. May it please the Lord to keep us with the simplicity of the worship service. Ah, when the Lord works, when the Lord works with the Spirit, what does that people have a desire for? Entertainment? To feel good? They have a desire to hear the Word of God. A desire how that the Lord converts His people. A desire to hear whether for such a sinner as I am, whether there is hope possible, how it is possible to be saved. Ah, they have a desire that from the pulpit may be proclaimed what has been experienced in the inner chamber. It is true, there was a difference, all Luther has stressed, the preaching of law and gospel, but a Luther who has come out of the Roman Catholic Church is given a little more leeway. And as long as it was not strictly forbidden, he has given some allowance. But John Calvin, he has stated there must be a warrant in God's word for everything that takes place in the worship service. And how many churches have begun, go so subtly, slowly, but surely, and they have begun. And what is the fruit and the outcome? The Spirit grieved, and that also the youth thinks, entertainment that I can find in the world. I do not need to come to church. May the Lord keep us under that old truth. Let us first sing a Psalter 252, the 4 stanzas. Jehovah sits enthroned in majesty most bright, appareled in omnipotence, and girded round with might, and what follows, 252, the four stanzas. The second commandment, how God must be worshipped. What God forbids, what God requires, and now thirdly, what God promises in the second commandment. Then there is added a warning and a promise, because we read that the Lord has said the second time in the law, that we read, the Lord thy God am a jealous God, a visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, that warning and promise has been added to the second commandment, does not exclude other transgressions, but as a special reference to the worship of God, has a special reference to family circles, to the third and the fourth generation. We have the solemn examples in the scripture. The Lord is a jealous God of us honor. He is jealous of us house. He is jealous how he is worshiped. When we think of a jealousy, then we can think of a husband and wife. That a husband, not 90% of the heart of his dear wife, but 100%, we can bring it over to the second commandment. When we read to the third and fourth generation, do we not read in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall the Lord then punish the sins of the parents and children? We have the examples. Think of the children of Korah. They did not agree with Father. They have fled. The Lord has spared them. The Lord has remembered that family. Also, Samuel was a descendant of Korah. But as a general rule, when father and mother, when they do not instill that reverence into their children, when they have a light worship, when the worship of God has not such a large place, and also the church, then how often to give an example, if father and mother would only come one time to church, then usually the next generation comes no more at all. What an examples we have in the Bible. The house of Eli, because he did not remove his sons from the priesthood. That priesthood was removed from his family. Jeroboam, because of the worship of the golden calves, his family was cut off. We read the same thing of King Ahab. But now we read more. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments concerning that iniquity, the third and the fourth generation, but that mercy to 1,000 generations. How are we to understand it? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, then it is clear that it does not refer to the meriting of salvation, because that would be contrary to the scriptures. But when it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, then it refers to the second commandment concerning to the worshiping of the Lord, when there may be respect, when there may be reverence, accompanied with much prayer, then the Lord has promised a special blessing. Just think of Jeremiah 35, of the Rechabites when they were put to the test. They were called by the prophet Jeremiah. He has placed wine before them. They have refused because they have told the prophet that our father has said we may not drink wine. And then at the end of that chapter, then we read of a special blessing upon the children and the family of the Rechabites. Thus, when we read, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments, then it refers to the reverence and the worshiping of the Lord. John Calvin, he has written concerning this matter. This is not only the effect of a religious education, which is of no small importance, but it is also in consequence of the blessing promised in the covenant that the grace of God shall perpetually remain in the families of the pious. We read in Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18, but the mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear me, and his righteousness unto children's children, as such as keep his covenant and remember his commandments to do them. The Lord grant in this week that we may all come up to God's house for a prayer day. It may yet, and it can yet. And also in the way of acknowledgement that many restrictions have been lifted. The Lord grant an impression of the solemnity of the times. The Lord impress upon all of our hearts many sins that need to be confessed and repented of. The Lord grant a lasting impression that every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of a turning. The Lord impress upon the hearts of young and old what we read in Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And what we read in Psalm 127, the first verses, that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain, and that the labor without the Lord's blessing, it shall all be in vain. The Lord impress upon our hearts that he has all our lives in our hand, but a breath and a heartbeat between us and eternity. The Lord grant an impression of his goodness. We're in the country of Ukraine for so many people, it shall be impossible to come together for a brighter day, where it is a country where there is war, where there is death, where there is instruction to that end. May we and our children do our utmost to come up to God's house, that we may try to humbly ask the Lord to ask a blessing for all our labors, and above all, upon the proclamation of his holy word. To that end, The Lord grant the spirit of prayer and supplication. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, for the second time, we have stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, and then by renewal we must confess that we are all guilty. We need the pardoning of our sins in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou remember in this week, wilt thou remember the instruction of the youth, remember the consistory when they hope to meet, and, O Lord, bring us and our children together for a day of prayer. Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit to that end? Wilt thou then watch over us in the home, by the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? May we be given by thy Spirit to have a small beginning and to worship thee aright, with that reverence, with an impression who thou art and we are, Lord. We are privileged above so many people. By renewal we commend unto thee that country with the war. Wilt thou remember, wilt thou restrain the enemy? Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies? Bring us to our homes. Watch over us in this night. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 207, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. And what follows, Psalter 207, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.